Welcome to another episode of the DJ Jerrica podcast. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. If you guys haven't already, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button and like button, notification bell. Of course, this is the podcast where I talk about entertainment news, world news, and gossip. And today we are going to talk about some serious subjects going on in the entertainment world that I want to discuss and also just share my thoughts. Now remember, the views and opinions on here, everything is alleged. It's not factual. This is for entertainment purposes only. If this is on YouTube and wherever I'm listening, wherever you guys are watching, remember that. So before we get into that, now I also want to tell you guys exactly what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about R. Kelly possibly getting an appeal after being convicted for child sex crimes, and also how Tasha K may be the reason why he may get an appeal. You guys, it's crazy. Along with that, we're going to talk about Spotify being boycotted after Joe Rogan's video surfaced of him saying the N-word, and music artist NDIRE stepped forward and decided to withdraw her support with Spotify by removing her music. And now, of course, this is starting to become a big thing. Everyone is boycotting Joe Rogan for the things that he said, and I'm going to share my thoughts in regards to that. We have news about Wendy Williams in regards to her health condition. They're saying that Wendy Williams' accounts have been frozen and shut down because she allegedly is currently suffering from dementia. You guys, like I said, allegedly. We're going to talk about that, and also Chris Brown's rape case. We have other things we're going to discuss, but let's get to talking about R. Kelly getting an appeal and Tasha K's involvement of why he may be getting this appeal, allegedly. Now, this is from my research and information that I've collected over the past several months in regards to Tasha K. Now, she just took an L because she lost a $4 million lawsuit against Cardi B. And, I mean, that one hit alone would have been enough to possibly end her YouTube career. And I'm saying this, and I'm saying this not in a hateful way. You know, I don't hate Tasha K. I don't know the woman. You know, I understand that she's been working very hard to build her brand. I'm not going to take that away from her. But it's just unfortunate that she did it the wrong way, because she had hit 1 million subscribers. And what the old saying says, not trying to get biblical, but God giveth and God take it away. And what I seen was that she hit 1 million. And just as soon as she hit 1 million, she went back down to 900,000 people. And she lost more and more subscribers and a ton of people. I swear she lost at least 50,000 people had unsubscribed from her channel due to this entire scandal. And, you know, I just feel, you know, before I even get into the whole R. Kelly situation, I feel like Tasha K still hasn't really learned her lesson. And I don't know if it's because of who she is, just her personality, how she view things, or what else has to happen in order for her to just get it and really humble herself and just really give out an apology for making up these false claims about Cardi B, allegedly. Like, I have to protect myself, allegedly. But yeah, so long story short, we already know what happened with Cardi B, right? She won. She got to pay her $4 million. Do I think she's going to be able to pay her that much money with a YouTube check? No, I do not. And that's because as a YouTuber myself, I study the analytics. I know how much YouTube's paid out. And of course, you can make money off of endorsements, but I just don't see it where her just dropping $4 million to her and not taking it as a serious L. And then we hear y'all saying, well, why don't she just file for bankruptcy? If she files for bankruptcy, it'll all go away. You know, clearly she doesn't have $4 million to give her. I don't think that works in this circumstance. From my research, it says that from what I've researched and like what reports are saying in the news, they say that allegedly Tasha K cannot file bankruptcy to get this entire case up off of her. She has to pay Cardi B. So technically right now, she's working for Cardi B. All of the videos that she's uploading currently, in the past, previously, all of that money and revenue that she's getting from YouTube is going to have to be funneled out and given to Cardi B. Now, from what I've seen in the videos and apology that she gave and everything else, that wasn't even an apology. That was just her basically saying that she's going to keep fighting the case and bring it to the Supreme Court, which is just, at this point, it's just outlandish and delusional to me. And once again, this isn't my thoughts directly personally about Tasha K. I'm just talking about the circumstances, all right? And for me, I feel like Tasha K's channel is really, really at risk for being taken down. Now, do I think they should take her channel down? No. The reason why is because I do believe in people having freedom of speech, but spreading lies, you are putting everyone else at risk of getting their platform taken down. So yeah, I mean, if she did get her channel taken away from YouTube, I wouldn't cry about it. I wouldn't protest it. I wouldn't do anything, but I don't wish bad on people. I don't wish bad on people, but I just feel like Tasha K mentally, she just isn't right in the head. That's me personally, what I believe. Not saying that that's facts, that she's sick in the head, because I'm not going to do her like she did Cardi B and make up all of these false stories to help build clout. I'm just going to speak from the heart. All right. And I really think that Tasha K really needs to get some counseling. Her husband needs to get her some counseling and try to wash off that narcissisticness that's just spreading and spewing through her skin and her veins and everything else. Because it's just, for me, if I was Tasha K and I was risking my entire livelihood and I've built a production that has over 1 million subscribers, and once I hit that 1 million, my subs are dropping, I would just humbly apologize, say I was wrong, accept the L and move forward, so she could at least have the opportunity to keep her YouTube channel. Now, let's just say YouTube has a meeting with Cardi B, right? And they say, you know what? The stuff that she said about Cardi B is completely outlandish. It's completely disgusting. Look, we're getting to R. Kelly. Don't tune out. We're getting to R. Kelly. Just enjoy the conversation. This is a podcast. You know, the things that she said about Cardi B is completely outlandish and disgusting, and we don't want to be the platform to say that we agree with this type of behavior or our sponsors should agree with this type of behavior. We're just going to completely take her channel down, because how it works with YouTube is they start off, they'll give you like a strike or 2 to 3 strikes, and they take the channel down. I think Tasha K probably gotten more than 1 strike with the content that she's posted on these celebrities and stuff like that. I don't know. But I don't really see that many ads running on her page. So that would lead me to believe that maybe she's not getting monetized on a lot of her videos, and she only has a couple of bags from her sponsors. Mind you, one of her sponsors just pulled out, and they were on social media basically saying that after the contract expired, and I have the videos and the receipts, but you know, this isn't a gossip channel. This is a podcast, but I actually know for a fact that one of her sponsors have completely pulled out, and they announced that they were pulling out from working with her. So she's losing money while she has to pay Cardi B $4 million. This is just all bad. And no matter what she tries to do to try to save face or prove that she's a strong woman and she could just get through it, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. And I feel like she does regret doing what she did do to Cardi B. She's taking an L. She has a family to support, you know? And it's unfortunate that, you know, Cardi B's a mom, Tasha K's a mom. That would just make me think, like, why would Tasha K wants to sit here on her platform and try to destroy another woman is beyond me. It's beyond me. And then I seen that the girl that was on Tasha K's show saying all these things about Cardi B was on Nick at Night. Shout out to Nick at Night. And was basically giving her statement and trying to save face and everything else to say that Tasha K allegedly reached out to her trying to clean up everything that was going on behind the scenes, and that she didn't want to be bothered because she didn't want to keep continuously being beaten down by the public based off of her being on these social media platforms and podcasts talking, and especially on Tasha K's show, you know? So I just feel like all of this is just falling apart. Now, they still have to go back to court in February in regards to the whole incident and Tasha K losing the lawsuit. So we don't know if Tasha K is going to have a channel by the end of February. We do not know, but we know that she has to go back to court for this. Now, let's just lead into R. Kelly, because I could talk about the Tasha K and Cardi B stuff all day long and my thoughts on it, but I want to help you guys understand why I really think R. Kelly is getting this appeal due to Tasha K's actions. And you guys are probably wondering, like, how? Okay, listen. It's not in a way that Tasha K was trying to support this man who's allegedly a pedophile or and a convicted pedophile and sex trafficking young girls and all this other stuff, marrying teenagers, all this other stuff, this compilation of shit that involves R. Kelly, allegedly. But what she reportedly did, and this is coming from the Chicago Tribune, which is the city of Chicago's where all this stuff with R. Kelly was allegedly going down, Detroit area, all that other stuff. These people are basically saying that Tasha K is the top of an investigation in regards to R. Kelly getting an appeal, because she allegedly manipulated the federal system by paying a security guard to go into a database and get all of R. Kelly's personal logs and information and messages between him and other people that was visiting him in prison, and this his entire spreadsheet. So I'm going to read this information. I'm going to break this down, but they're saying that Tasha K allegedly paid for over 100. This person accessed the account and went into the account over 150 times. So she paid this person to go into R. Kelly's files, federal files, over 150 times to bring T onto her show. And the worst part is Tasha K actually presented this exact same documentation, filing evidence on her actual podcast and her platform. So now Tasha K is basically shooting herself in the foot because she wanted to build her platform so bad and make it into CNN and National Enquirer and all of these other stuff, TMZ. She wanted to hit that point so bad that now you're breaking federal laws. Now, can I say that Tasha K could go to jail for this? I don't know. But I don't know if she told this woman, hey, go to the computer system. I need you to do this, this, and this. Or did she just talk to the woman and the security guy reached out to her and said, hey, I got some tea on R. Kelly. I'll tell you some information. And Tasha K didn't know that this woman was going through his federal files to get this information. But since she passed it to her, she had to know that she went through some federal files to get this information. And for her to blast it to her over 2 million followers across the internet, basically saying she got all of R. Kelly's information in regards to this whole sex trafficking case and everything else. This is why I believe R. Kelly will be free by the end of 2022. Now, don't come up in here getting mad at me saying, oh, well, you sitting here speaking into existence that he comes out because you supporting alleged child trafficker, pedophile, whatever. No, I'm not talking about that. I don't support R. Kelly neither. I don't listen to his music anymore. I don't agree what he allegedly did, the things that he reportedly done to kids and people and all of this stuff. But what I do know is just the judicial system is very straight to the point. It's straight to the point, whether it's right or whether it was wrong. Nothing in between. This is the reason why Bill Cosby is free right now, because they tried to convict him on something that he was not supposed to be convicted on after he had a discussion with a DA who said that, oh, if you confess to these things, you won't get convicted. That's why Bill Cosby is free right now. And currently, Bill Cosby attorneys is working for R. Kelly. So y'all tell me this. I'm going to tell y'all this, and now I swear I'm speaking on it, y'all. Tasha K is going to be the reason why R. Kelly is about to be back on the streets. Her plan was to help get him convicted, which is the reason why she probably went on social media and said, oh, well, the government, they've been referring to my files in courts and my video in court and this, 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 and this, because they're seeing the files of which she, you know, illegally accessed through this alleged security guard. Look, I'm going to read the article to you guys, but I'm just ranting about this whole situation, this whole situation. All right, she done got access to federal files on R. Kelly. Now it's tampering with evidence. Now it's giving the opportunity for you to have a biased juror or people that may have seen Tasha K's videos before they were selected for jury duty. It's so many things, and that's tampering with evidence. So if that is the case, even if R. Kelly is as guilty as everyone is saying that he is, he will be set free. And when he is set free, what is going to happen next? I had just seen Kelly Price on social media calling out the mother of R. Kelly's girlfriend for allegedly sending threats to her because Kelly Price said that, and it wasn't even what she said. She didn't say anything about Jocelyn Savage's mom. She didn't say anything about her mom directly. She said she's been in the industry for over 30 years and she's seen behind the scenes how parents bring their children to these male celebrities for their own personal use, if you know what I mean, just to hope that their child be able to become a child star and get a come up, okay? And she has the right to talk about that stuff. That's her personal experience. She went on that man's platform and said what she said. There's no reason for her to be threatened. No reason for her to be threatened at all. So it's a lot that's going on in this whole situation. And a lot of corruption that's going on, the whole situation. So I'm going to read this stuff about Tasha. And like I said, I don't know that lady. I have nothing against her. But these are literally articles. And I'm concerned for Tasha K, even her safety at this point. Like, we should not get to the point where we're on a platform and digging through people's personal information to the point where your lives may be in danger. Tasha K is a very talented woman. She has a great presentation, a great voice. I like her video presentation, but I just feel like she went the wrong way. She really just needed to truly believe in herself. And when you truly believe in yourself, you don't have to make up fake stories and do disgusting and foul things to get ahead. And now all of this stuff is piling on top of it. Mind you, R. Kelly, he caught COVID. I don't know if you guys know about that. He reportedly caught COVID-19, and they decided to hold off on him filing his appeal until about February 17th. So right now, as we speak, R. Kelly is reportedly fighting COVID-19, and this is coming out that he's filing for an appeal. Listen, I was going to talk about this the week that Cardi B and Tasha K, basically the whole court case happened and Cardi B won. I was going to discuss this. But when I just seen, literally, I waited. I'm like, let me wait and wait. And then I get news that R. Kelly is literally filing for an appeal. I was literally about to tell you guys this on my other show, but I decided to wait. And now it's literally coming together. Now, listen to this. This is coming from the Daily Mail. Of course, I have information from the Chicago Tribune who started the article, but I'm going to read this from the Daily Mail. And this is from September. It says a retired Chicago prison officer is facing FBI probe for sharing R. Kelly's phone calls, emails, and visitor logs with popular YouTuber Tasha K. It continues. It says the female officer who retired in December of 2019 allegedly accessed R. Kelly's records more than 150 times in a 6-month period. She now faces a FBI probe but hasn't been charged or named in the investigation. Now, along with that, it says, of course, Tasha K posted the videos on her account Unwind with Tasha K, offering an exclusive look at the details about R. Kelly, not even revealed in court. So this is information, like top secret information about R. Kelly that even the federal courts didn't know about R. Kelly and the people that he was contacting and everything else. Like, this is just like that top secret information. And you're not supposed to violate that. Now, I don't know if the security guard, if she's going to face charges alone, but I just feel like if Tasha K is aware and she really paid her and set up a negotiation session with this woman and said, hey, go into these files, you know, I'll pay you this amount of money. I'm trying to build my brand. This could be a very, very big L that Tasha K is going to have to take following this entire Cardi B situation. Along with that, I feel like it has completely backfired. I think Tasha K really wanted to get R. Kelly convicted and she wanted to put out as much tea and information as possible. But now it's backfiring because she knew information that the courts didn't even know. So it's a situation where it's like, now that they know that and they have this information, they have complete evidence, and it ain't no, oh, allegedly this woman, they literally reportedly has proof that this security guard went through R. Kelly's files over 150 times. Mind you, this isn't even her department. So that's a problem. Why are you going through R. Kelly's personal information while he's in prison at this penitentiary or jail? For what purpose? It's not in your job description. And now they have proof that she gave this evidence to Tasha K. Now, how could they know? Well, because of emails. Now, you could call somebody all day and say this, this, and this, and they could track your phone calls or maybe do recorded phone calls if she's using the prison's phone system. But I don't think this woman is dumb enough to use the prison phone system to spread tea about R. Kelly. She probably was using her own cell phone. But when you do emails, they may track the emails and be able to go through her account and say, hey, what was being sent on this date, that date? You know, we don't know, you know, especially since she was working for the federal prison system in the U.S. I know it was serious restrictions and stuff like that. And she couldn't interact with people and give out personal information of inmates. So this is some serious tea. And it could possibly lead to the overturn of R. Kelly's conviction. Why? Whether he's guilty or not, this proves that he's not going to have a fair trial because his evidence has been put out against him. And information that's been divulged could tamper with evidence or tamper with potential jurors that it may select for trial. So now R. Kelly case has been bust wide open due to Tasha K being allegedly a bit too nosy and breaking laws just so she can have a story. So I, you know, I'm just completely stunned, just completely backfired on Tasha K. And I feel like, was it really worth it? Because now R. Kelly is going to file an appeal. And if he does file an appeal, I'm pretty sure And I'm not saying that they will end up using her as the main catalyst for his appeal, but I'm pretty sure that his attorneys are aware of this situation. I'm pretty sure they know who Tasha K is, especially since she's been on the World Wide Web, internet news, because she just got sued and lost this lawsuit with Cardi B, that now they're going to take all of this information and say, hey, you know, we got evidence that this case has been completely tampered with. And hold on for a minute, you guys. I'm going to read some more of this article so you guys can understand how deep this actually goes. Wait, so I did mention that the female officer, the retired female officer now, allegedly accessed R. Kelly's records over 150 times in 6 months before she departed. And she also emailed herself 12 pages of his jail records and information. So that right there is confirming what I'm thinking. Like, that's how she got busted, through the emails. The officer worked as a disciplinary hearing officer at a federal prison in Wisconsin and was not even assigned to the MCC and had no official reason to be searching for R. Kelly's information, as stated in a 24-page warrant obtained by the Tribune, which is the Chicago Tribune. You guys remember I mentioned that earlier? They were the first people to report this. Some of the private information involves R. Kelly's continuous relationship with his two girlfriends, Jocelyn Savage, Azriel Clary, who were living in a high-rise apartment at the Trump Towers residency up until, of course, his conviction. He's not there anymore. According to this report, Tasha K reveals in one of the videos that Kelly allegedly had a friend bring $1,500 in cash to the apartment to help pay for the girlfriend's bills. And then we have this article from Rolling Stone. Of course, I'm just going to ad lib from this. You know, it's really not much details to really talk about in this article. But basically, this is the article where they say that R. Kelly contracted COVID-19 and that his appeal court case will be pushed back until February 17th. R. Kelly is supposed to be sentenced in May. So if he's able to grant his appeal before his sentencing, this may be a situation where he's going from being sentenced to possible 10 years or more in prison to being a free man. And if they actually use not only this Tasha K information and all the other stuff that we don't know that was going on behind the scenes, R. Kelly might be stepping out of jail and stepping in the name of love, y'all. Now, from what I'm seeing, and I read it directly from the Rolling Stone, they literally said that the same lawyers and attorneys that worked on Bill Cosby's appeal is working on R. Kelly's appeal. So I think R. Kelly might be free very soon. And what does this mean for everybody else? If he's freed on a technicality in regards to an error in evidence or bias in a judgment, what does this mean for the alleged victims of R. Kelly? Are these young ladies safe anymore? What is going to happen? Will his team come back? Will people invest money into him again? This is a scary situation. Definitely a scary situation to be a part of if these women know for a fact that he allegedly abused them, sexually assaulted them. Y'all, this is why we have to be very careful on this media platform and being a radio or podcasters or personalities, whatever you want to call us. Because just one step can ruin someone else's life. Just because you wanted to get views, just because you wanted to get this or that, you could possibly be the reason why the person that you want locked up so bad may be able to get an appeal. And I'm not saying that they're going to completely use Tasha K's evidence to get R. Kelly an appeal, but this is a loophole. This is a loophole. Instead of helping, this has hurt this whole situation in regards to him being convicted. So y'all, we're going to sit back and I'm just going to leave y'all with that to think about. Share your thoughts in the comment section. If you guys are listening on Apple Podcasts, listen, I need to get these ratings up, because if you rate and leave comments, it helps more people know about my actual show and moves it up the actual Apple Podcasts algorithm. Same thing on YouTube. So if you guys can, make sure you guys subscribe, leave a comment, leave a rating, share your thoughts about the topics. Okay. Now we're going to get over to Joe Rogan in this whole situation in regards to NDIRE boycotting Spotify. Spotify is definitely trying it. They're saying that they're going to continue to back this man that used the N-word over like literally 50 times in the clip that I watched. It felt like over 50 times. And he also called black people Planet of the Apes. And I, you look, Listen, I can't make this up if I try to. Then Joe Rogan gonna go on Instagram and give this sideways apology. Say, well, I'm not racist. I was just talking about how one group of people can use the N-word and other people can't use the N-word. Okay, but what about this Planet of the Apes comment? He literally said he went to go see Planet of the Apes in a black community. And he said as soon as he got out the car, it was like he was living in Planet of the Apes. What? How is that not a racist comment? And the thing is, I don't listen to this man's show. I never was into his stuff, but it's crazy how they're paying this man over $100 million on the backs of black entertainers and musicians. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people have decided to unsubscribe from Spotify, because they're paying the talent like 3 pennies per spin. And they're giving this man, who has openly used racist slurs, has said disgusting things about people. I'm not against freedom of speech. Have your freedom of speech. But with that, we as black creators, anybody that's a musician, has the right to have their freedom of speech and decide to withdraw their music and decide to not help them, a person who clearly doesn't care for the black community, don't care about no other culture but himself, you know, help to pay his bill and keep his light bills and his lights on and everything else on. Like, no, that's not okay. You are literally ripping people off to pay him. You're building off of black entertainers, and then you want to put out this sorry statement. The Spotify owner, the owner and the CEO of Spotify, put out a statement basically trying to soften up the situation to say, well, we deleted over 100 episodes of his podcast, but we're not going to, you know, we're not going to release him because we believe in freedom of speech. But how quick were they to drop Joe Budden from their network? They dropped him like hotcakes, all because he wanted a raise and make sure that his staff was paid properly. But Joe Rogan gets $100 million. Mind you, the Joe Budden podcast has over 200 million downloads worldwide. Over 100 million downloads worldwide. Between that number, they're like literally at the top tier when it comes to views. But they didn't want to pay Joe Budden that money, allegedly. They didn't want to play the black podcaster that money, allegedly, who has proven himself over and over again in his industry, or his co-host, the proper amount of money for his views. But they took all that money and they gave it to Joe Rogan, $100 million. So you took Joe Budden's check, gave it to Joe Rogan. You took Indy Irie's money, gave it to Joe Rogan. You took every black entertainer's money and just gave it to this man who was making comments and saying that him stepping out of the car in the black community is like walking into the Planet of the Apes. Y'all, anybody listen to me on Spotify, if y'all decide not to listen to me anymore on Spotify after this, I totally agree. Feel free to listen to my podcast on all of the other outlets that's there, and I will leave my link tree below so you can decide to remove your subscriptions from these people, because this is an absolute joke. And the thing is that people try to say, oh, it's freedom of speech and freedom. Okay, so is lynching people freedom of speech and freedom of action? Like, when do we start saying that being racist and throwing out racial slurs is just so great and it's just freedom of speech? Is it because you just invested $100 million into this dude and you don't want him to leave? He's over here going on a deletion spree. It doesn't matter how many videos and podcasts he deleted. That video is still going to be out on the web. I have the video on my phone of him cursing and calling the N-word and making jokes and using the full word. Saying nigger. Like, are y'all kidding me? Like, y'all really kidding me? You know, and I know people out here, these musicians, they need their money. They're going to have their music on streaming apps to make their money. Some people are not going to withdraw their support of Spotify, but I hope that at least the heavyweights that brings in the most streams make the decision to remove their stuff off of Spotify, because at this point, enough is enough. You have the right for freedom of speech, and we have the right to not support racism and bigotry. Everyone is divided. Support your opinion while we support ours and move our money. Because these people, they don't hear you until you start messing with their pocketbooks. Like, literally, from what I've seen, the stocks is already hitting the ground with Spotify. You guys are playing with the wrong people. You guys are playing with the wrong people. Like, and for him to go on and get his dry apology and say, well, I'm not racist. You know, I was just trying to say how it's not fair that one group of people can use the N-word and another group of people can't. I'm sorry. Black people were enslaved, lynched under that name, murdered under that name, genocide all through the streets under that name. We definitely should be able to say that name. But you can't, because you're the ones, your ancestors were the ones who attacked us and killed us. So how is it fathom for you to not understand why a particular group of race of people can't say that word? And I don't get it. And I don't even like talking about race-based stuff on my show. But this is just absolutely, it's insulting. It is insulting to the black community, because I just feel like he really think we're just this dumb. And then you got people coming out that's friends of his talking about some, well, Joe isn't racist. He works with black people all the time. Like, that is like the biggest slogan for a racist. I'm not racist. I work with black people every day. I mean, because you have to, because of labor laws. Like, what does that have to do with anything? One thing you're going to get is your money. And your views may differ. But one thing that you're going to want, whether it's black money, white money, it all is green, you know? So, of course he would work with black people. For his money, to pay his bills, to take care of his family, of course he'll work with black people. Who would mess up that bag? But now he's over here messing up his own bag. And now we got the CEO of Spotify basically saying, I'm okay, I'm going to stand by this bigot, this racist. I don't care what you feel. I feel like he's a racist, because it's one thing if he could have defined and said, oh, I was saying that because of the subject matter of my show. But the Planet of the Apes, stepping out of your car in the black neighborhood was like stepping into Planet of the Apes. And then you try to correct yourself. Oh, that wasn't nice. Why you have a bunch of people laughing and like, what is this? I don't even listen to the show, but what is that? And then he's going to say an apology. Well, you know, this is a compilation of over 12 years of my show. So great. You've been out here being bigot for over a decade and a half now. That makes the whole situation even more amazing. Like, big up to Joe Rogan. Everybody give a hand clap for Joe Rogan, because he didn't say the N-word 12 times in one show. He said the N-word 12 times over a 12-year period. That is just... bravo to you. Like, I don't understand that. I don't condone racism. I feel like we all should be able to treat each other with respect. You can have your views and opinions, but there's certain things that's off limits. And freedom of speech ain't free. There's certain things that I can't say on air, and you can't say on air, or it's going to be a problem. We got Whoopi Goldberg. She's under suspension now for the stuff that she said. She's being disciplined right now. When you're on a particular people's platform and you're an employee, you can't say certain things. You can't say certain things because you're going to offend the audience. You're going to offend viewers. You're going to offend people in general. Hurtful words, you know, it hurts. You know, I'm not a person who's going to cry if I'm being called the N-word by somebody who's ignorant like him. But it's the fact that y'all feel like it's okay for me. Spotify. And now it's a thing where a lot of podcasters that's listening, you know, that was listeners of the Joe Budden podcast or just listeners or maybe even both, is starting to realize the bias that actually is going on behind Spotify. Because when Joe Budden came out and was saying the things about Spotify, everybody was saying he was being greedy, he was this, he was that. But now we got Indy Irie stepping forward. We got Neil Young stepping forward. We have a lot of other people that's coming out in the art community, in the music community, stepping forward to call out Spotify with their effed up ways. And this is a trickle-down effect. So if you guys are listening to me on Spotify and you hear this news and information and you guys are pissed off, listen, bring your viewership over to the other platforms that I have listed. I'm on TuneIn. I'm on iHeart. I'm on Apple Podcasts. I'm on a list so many I can't even name. So you'll be able to listen to my podcast if you guys feel like it's best for you guys to unsubscribe from Spotify. It's just, you know, and I feel like India Irie, this is the first time that I noticed that this is the first time where the black woman was actually acknowledged and people are starting to listen. Like, about serious situations and circumstances. India Irie is such an honorable person to decide to lose money in the name of racial injustice. Yes, it's verbal and racial injustice. And people that's probably listening to this could be mad. Oh, well, she, at the end of the day, before anything, I am a black person. I'm black. So I'm never going to be okay with somebody coming around calling my people Planet of the Apes. Like, no, I'm not going to be okay with that. I'm not into racial bias. It's unnecessary. And I don't care if he made that clip over the past 12 years. How did we not catch this over the past 12 years? This is just bad karma coming back on Joe Rogan. And what did he need $100 million for? You can't pay Joe Budden and his team what they're asking for, which is probably not even a quarter of that. He probably wanted $50 million, but he wasn't worth it, right? Even though he's bringing in over 200 million views. Spotify, y'all got a lot of explaining to do. Y'all really got a lot of explaining to do. Fed up. I need to go to the next subject because this is very low vibrational. And I'm not about to stay on a low vibration. So the next story we got is Tisha Campbell coming out. The actress, of course, everybody knows Tisha Campbell. She's for the culture. Martin, house party, everything. You know, she is the culture when it comes to black culture. And she had a story that she told in regards to her allegedly almost being sex trafficked while she was out filming a movie. She basically stated that she had to call a taxi cab because the area around her didn't have Uber or Lyft or any other app transportation. So she decided to call a number that was given to her by someone that worked at a hotel that she was at. And when she called, a car arrived and two assailants got out of the car and basically tried to force her into a dirty, shady car that didn't have flooring or anything like that. And she made a scene, and basically in the video she said that they looked real sketchy. You know, the guy in the car was telling her to get in the back seat, and she said she's not getting in the back seat. And they said, okay, get in the front. And then she said, I'm not getting in that effing car. And then, you know, from there, she went in her own direction, went into the hotel and asked the hotel clerk, why would they give her that number? And the person is just acting oblivious and not understanding what was going on. Now, in a shocking turn of events, the police department in that area, which is Brownsville, Texas, came out with a statement denouncing the claims that Tisha Campbell Martin may have actually been nearly abducted by sex traffickers. They said that they didn't find anything upon investigation. Now, they went on their website or Facebook page and came out and said this statement. The Brownsville Police Department is committed to providing proactive, professional, and effective public safety. Regrettably, our department became aware of Ms. Campbell's ordeal via social media and not through traditional reporting means, as would be expected from a victim of an attempted heinous crime. Upon reviewing facts presented by Ms. Campbell in her video, the police department investigators quickly launched an investigation, as such cases are not the norm in our city. Through numerous interviews and reviews of security camera footage, we could not validate Ms. Campbell's stay in Brownsville's hotels, nor in any other claims made in the video. The Brownsville Police Department takes human trafficking and incidents such as the one Ms. Campbell reported seriously and welcomes her to reach out to us to investigate the matter further. So they're basically trying to say that Tisha Campbell Martin made this whole thing up, and I personally don't believe that. I don't think this woman would have to go and make this story up for clout or anything like that. And come to find out, she actually did an interview with TMZ, and she basically explained to them that she was shooting her movie in Brownsville. However, the incident happened in like another town next to Brownsville. So according to what she stated from TMZ, she basically was saying that she was in the Marriott Hotel in South Pedro Island. So they would have to actually pull footage from the Marriott in South Pedro Island in order for them to be able to see exactly what have may occurred and what may have happened. Now, I don't know if they actually talked to Keisha Campbell before they actually just started this investigation, but I think they should have done that before just assuming and just pulling footage from random hotels in Brownsville when she was actually not directly in Brownsville. She was in a town or a county next to Brownsville in a Marriott hotel when this alleged incident occurred. Now, from what I'm getting from TMZ and other reports, she did file an actual police report and she decided to leave out of Texas after the incident because she was spooked out. And this is what she said on TMZ, you know, that she's not afraid to speak up. She said that's why it's important for women or people in general who's gone through any kind of victimization to make sure that they talk. You know, you're quick to be silenced because you're scared of people not believing you or being berated or any of that stuff. It's very hard to do, but you should do it. It doesn't matter whether you're being sexually harassed, raped, human trafficked, anything. So, you know, she stood 10 toes down on this statement. She actually filed a police report about it and she left out of Texas. So as this situation develops, I'm going to keep you guys updated, but I just don't understand why they would think that Tisha Campbell would pull a Jussie Smollett. I just don't see that. You know, she's like a legend in the industry. She has no reason to have to make up stories on Instagram to get clout or get new followers or anything like that. She's actually a talented actress. And I feel like they should definitely look further into this because, you know, because she's a famous actress, they looked into it. But there's so many other non-famous people who have probably been approached by these men and actually been successfully abducted and pushed into sex trafficking that they are just simply just dropping the ball. And I don't know, you know, they're saying that they don't know or haven't heard of that stuff happening in their city. Anything could be happening in your city. Like, I don't know why Brownsville feel like they just got the golden key and can't nobody be sex trafficked through their town. Like, they should definitely sit back and, you know, if it's in South Pedro that this incident occurred, I hope that they do the actual research and review the cameras and everything else. You know, I just don't see Tisha Campbell Martin lying about anything like that. So I'm going to keep you guys posted on that. And then from there, we're going to talk about Chris Brown and why he believes the industry is conspiring against him and saying that he's a rapist because of this new allegation that came out from this woman. Now, this woman, I know you guys heard my little short mini pod. I do mini pods in between my big pods because so much news comes out at once. So sometimes I just have to do mini pods to, you know, stick with the algorithms and stuff. But the story that I had put out was allegedly a woman came out and stated that last year at a Christmas, I think it was a holiday party or something, Chris Brown sexually assaulted her and actually allegedly raped her at Puff Daddy's party on a yacht outside of his house. Now, this woman had made a claim that Chris Brown sexually assaulted her, and she put out a statement. Along with that, it was being reported that she's currently suing Chris Brown for $20 million. Now, that's a whole lot of money without any actual physical evidence. But if there's actual cameras, then she may be able to prove that this actually happened. But according to the reports, the woman was saying that Chris Brown invited her over to his house, over to Puff Daddy's house, Diddy's house, whatever, how many names this man has, after she was FaceTiming with one of his friends and he said, oh, come over, whatever, whatever. And they showed up. But, you know, Chris Brown, at first he was being charismatic. He had got her something to drink. But she realized after she drunk the drinks that he was making that she started to feel lightheaded, started to feel dizzy. She said she fell out. And then she said that Chris Brown took her to another location and then took her bottoms off. And allegedly this is when the sexual assault slash rape happened. And from there, she said she decided not to do a rape kit or do a report about it because she was embarrassed because she is a medical student or was a medical student at the time and she didn't want to tarnish her name with that. But now she's stepping forward, but she's filing under a Jane Doe status, so no one will actually know who it is that's filing against Chris Brown. Now, Chris Brown, he decided to fire back and he came up with a statement basically trying to claim that the industry is after him and that it's suspect that every time he drops new music, new allegations of him abusing women or sexually assaulting women or anything, just something crazy, comes out along with his music. Now, all I'm trying to figure out is who is trying to conspire to ruin Chris Brown's career. You know, if this is true, what Chris Brown is saying, that these people are coming against him to ruin his career, who is actually trying to come together and say, yo, let's ruin Chris Brown's career? Who's doing it? Now, is it a possibility that this lady is just doing a money grab? Yes, it's possible. But I believe, you know, everybody, I think everyone has their right to really share their story about being allegedly sexually assaulted. And if it's, you know, happened to be a situation where it's proven that it's not true, then they deal with the consequences for lying. But I'm not going to sit here and say that this woman doesn't have the right to step up and say what she has to say in regards to being allegedly sexually assaulted. Now, with Chris Brown, I personally believe he's saying that people have it out for him. I just really think that he just needs to, you know, watch the company that he keeps. If he is doing drugs, get sober, clean his mind out, and make sure that he keeps the right people around him at all times. You know, maybe try to settle down, you know, try to be better, like, not going out as much, focus on his kids for the most part, and not do these parties and everything else, because it just seemed like every time there's a party or an outing, I think it was a few years ago when they had, like, he had to stand out with the cops at his house party and stuff. It was just crazy, y'all. Yeah, and Chris Brown took to Instagram and he made this statement and said, "I hope y'all see this pattern of cap. Whatever I'm releasing, music or projects, they try to pull some real bullshit. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, who would want to conspire against Chris Brown? Is there, like, a music executive going after him? Is it the music label? And if so, why? Why do they want to destroy his career? I mean, wouldn't you want the music artist to make money? So why would these people conspire against him so he does not make money? Especially if he's signed to a label. You know, most artists are in debt to their record label. So I don't know what's going on in Chris Brown's life and the people around him, but you guys share your thoughts about the situation. Do you guys believe what the woman is saying? Do you guys not believe what she's saying? Share your thoughts on that. Make sure you guys, make sure if you guys haven't already and you're enjoying my show, hit that follow button, subscribe button, and leave a rating in the comment section as well, you guys. Now let's get over to, speaking of record labels, right? I was just saying, like, is it a record executive conspiring against Chris Brown, whatever, whatever. We got Meek Mills coming out on social media, basically trying to say that Atlantic Records was trying to sabotage his career and owes him a ton of money, along with NBA Youngboy. So I'm going to read a couple of things that's been posted on social media from Meek Mills and also NBA Youngboy, and then share my thoughts about this whole situation. And the thing is, Meek Mill made claims that Atlantic Records tried to throw a wrench in between his relationship with Roddy Ricch. And it's so crazy because yesterday it came out that Roddy Ricch deleted his social media account after he was being trolled and harassed by fans after he dropped new music. So I don't know if these are like Meek Mill's minions going over to his Instagram page and harassing him because of what Meek Mill said, and said that Roddy Ricch was acting funny after Meek Mill's basically helped to get him on and on that record label and stuff. And then he switched up allegedly, I have to say allegedly. But it's so crazy that this happens a few days ago where Meek Mill's calls out Atlantic Records and say what he says on Twitter. And then a few days later, Roddy Ricch put out new music, and then he's attacked, and then he decides to, like, completely shut down his account yesterday. So yeah, let me just read this and then I'll talk further about the situation. So this whole thing started when rapper NBA Youngboy made a post on his community tab on YouTube and said, "Why blackball me? I'm the good guy." He also stated, "I was going number one 2 weeks straight with a mixtape, so they took it down off the charts. I don't give a F. You still can't stop me. Don't sign to Atlantic if you an artist. They not going to support you, especially if you live a certain way." So I guess NBA Youngboy is trying to say that they're discriminating against him because he has a lot of kids and he has a ton of baby mamas in his life for the most part. You know, it's a mess. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not trying to judge, but it's a mess. So I guess he's trying to say that because he has, like, legal issues, he got a bunch of baby mamas, kids all over the place, he's pretty young, that they don't care about his music due to that, and they're trying to sabotage his career. So with him putting that up, that's when Meek Mills came back and went on Twitter and just clapped back and basically trying to say the same thing about basically the record label and said, "So look, I made Atlantic Records hundreds of millions and let them rape me out of an artist. They came to me about in jail. They still saying I can't drop music until 9 months. After my last album got blackballed. Just wrapped buildings and Nina art with talent. ... Roddy my youngest deal. But that label separated us instantly when the millions came in from him. Same thing they tried to do with me and Rosé. It takes a long time to catch up too, because most of them is tied in for the love of some money. Artists scared to speak up. They didn't put nothing into expensive pain and then said I can't drop another project for 9 months at the end of my contract after I made them hundreds of millions of dollars. Can anybody survive that? Most rappers can't speak because they depend on these companies. I don't." He went on to say, "If I didn't have millions, I'd probably do something crazy. They outsmarting young black kids, taking advantage of them and calling it business. other artists speak up and tell the truth while you win and not when you down. So he's basically just saying that you guys should speak up if you're an artist, part of the labels, no matter what the record label is. If you're being taken advantage of, you should speak up while you're at the high ranking for other artists so you don't become that person in the next few years. Because, of course, everyone has their time and their reign. And once you're not popular anymore, you're going to get the same situation and the same treatment. So that's what he was basically trying to say, what I got from it. Now, since then, Roddy Ricch decided to try to release a new song on his social media channel, and he was being attacked on social media, so he basically like deleted his Instagram page. Allegedly, this is the story. Now, I'm trying to figure out whether this whole situation is all related due to the Meek Mill situation that's going on, the NBA YoungBoy situation with Atlantic Records. But, you know, it's just kind of odd and interesting that Roddy Ricch decides to delete his account after he's being trolled. And was he always being trolled like that? I don't think so. I think this happened after Meek Mill came out and spoke up about Roddy Ricch basically and the team that was surrounding him basically screwing him out of his artist Roddy Ricch. So you guys share your thoughts on that situation right there. And let's get to talking about Wendy Williams, because Wendy Williams' whole situation is just getting, you know, it's just getting more interesting and getting more sad. Like, it's just a mess right now. They're saying that Wendy Williams has no access to her financing and her money. She's currently asking her bank, Wells Fargo, to unfreeze her assets as the bank suspects exploitation, dementia, and undue influence. That's correct. They're saying that Wendy Williams is suffering from dementia, and they have proof of that. So the reason why they decided to freeze her accounts is to make sure that she's not doing, you know, doing any reckless spending, or anybody around her is doing any reckless spending, allegedly. Now, this is coming from The Sun. It says, Wendy Williams, who has been absent from her daytime talk show since July of 2021, is asking the court for an emergency order requiring Wells Fargo to unfreeze her accounts with them. It continues, in the filing, Wendy asserts that Wells Fargo is in possession of several million dollars worth of funds belonging to the ailing host, and she has been denied access to her funds for more than 2 weeks. Her attorney alleged that Wendy's former financial advisor advised the bank that Wendy was of unsound mind and that Wells Fargo has denied her access to her bank accounts and statements due to this. Wells Fargo has justified its decision to keep Wendy's accounts frozen by referencing its authority under various client agreements to pause or reject instructions for a proposed transaction pending judicial or administrative remedies should they suspect financial exploitation, dementia, or undue influence, the petition claim. The host legal team claims the bank has overreached in its authority, in part because Wendy has not proposed any transaction which should give the bank discretion to pause or reject access to her accounts. It also states her attorney is seeking court orders by allowing her access to her financial accounts, assets, and statements while the dispute with Wells Fargo is resolved in arbitration. The petition alleged that Wells Fargo is in breach of their fiduciary duties and that the host is suffering from irreparable financial damages. So from me reading that, it sounds like the bank is just trying to protect Wendy Williams' assets and make sure that no one is taking advantage of her. It's not like they took her money for restitution or something or froze her accounts because she owed taxes. They basically are protecting her assets to make sure that no one is stepping in trying to take her money or steal her money or use it for their own benefit under her name due to her alleged health crisis that she's having. You know, I guess the rumors may actually be true that she is dealing with possibly dementia. I don't know, but I'm definitely sending prayers out to Wendy Williams, and I hope she heals very soon. You guys share your thoughts about this situation and what do you guys think should be next. I mean, she still has co-hosts and guest hosts on her show right now, and, you know, the ratings are doing pretty well. But, you know, do you guys think they should just pull the plug on the entire show and let someone else come in and just start a brand new show and let Wendy just retire gracefully? Because it doesn't seem like she's going to be back on daytime TV. And, you know, I don't like to speak negative on anyone's situation. I'm not saying because she's not going to be on daytime TV, she's not going to be healed. I'm just saying that maybe she's just not equipped for that position anymore, for her to be talking gossip and do the things that she do, because her health, and she's ailing. Allegedly, she's ailing. So definitely, I'm sending out prayers to Wendy Williams. I hope that everyone around her has good intentions. And, you know, I just want to say, I feel like the bank is doing the right thing by holding her assets to make sure no one is stealing from her or trying to take advantage of her if she does indeed have dementia. Share your thoughts in regards to that situation with Wendy Williams and share some prayers down in the comment section. Hopefully she, you know, is able to recover from this. It's very unfortunate. Now, let's get to Kanye West. This whole situation in regards to Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, their whole relationship, their kids, all of it is just a hot mess. And Kanye West has been all over Instagram calling out Kim Kardashian, making allegations saying that she was holding their kids hostage from him, that he can't get access to his kids. Then he was upset because Kim Kardashian made a TikTok page for their daughter, Northwest, and they've been putting up videos on that page, and Kanye West does not approve of that. So he went on social media to blast Kim for that. And also he went back on social media yesterday to call out Kim Kardashian for allegedly changing her phone number, and he didn't have any access to her. So he gives a shout out to a man named Larry Jackson for forwarding Kim Kardashian's number to him so he can contact her. And also during his rant, Kanye West made a claim that Kim Kardashian allegedly was running around saying that Kanye put a hit out on her over their kids. He said this on Instagram, y'all. Let me read this. It said, yesterday, Kim accused me of putting a hit out on her. So let me get this straight. I beg to go to my daughter's party and I'm accused of being on drugs. Then I go play with my son and I take my Akira graphic novels and I'm accused of stealing. But now I'm accused of putting a hit out on her. These ideas can actually get someone locked up. They play like that with black men's lives, whether it's getting them free or getting them locked up. I'm not playing about my kids anymore, about my black kids anymore. Let me add that black, because that's what he said, my black kids anymore. So he's on social media saying that. Then he comes back with another rant and basically thanks this guy named Larry Jackson for giving him Kim Kardashian's brand new number. And everyone's trying to figure out who the hell is Larry Jackson. Well, he is like a top executive at Apple Music. I'm going to read off exactly who he is, because I was like, who the heck is Larry Jackson? When I seen that, I was like, who's Larry Jackson? And why did he got Kim Kardashian's phone number? And how, like, and then the craziest thing is I went on a man's page yesterday. His comments was active. And it was a whole bunch of people like, good job, you gave out Kim Kardashian's number, you this. And everyone's trying to figure out who the hell is Larry Jackson. And after I did research on him, it says Larry Jackson is the head of content at Apple Music. He is also reportedly the partner of Kim Kardashian's former assistant in the music industry, and also he is friends with Kanye West. So this guy gave out the phone number allegedly of Kim Kardashian to Kanye West so he can contact Kim about their kids. And I guess maybe I don't know why he would get involved, but I guess he decided to do so. Now I guess that he has the phone number because they are all interchanging and related. I mean, Kim Kardashian is a music artist, so I don't understand what she would benefit from Apple Music. So I guess they're all just one big circle of friends or whatever. And he decided to help Kanye West out by giving him Kim Kardashian's phone number, so I guess they could talk about these kids and everything else. Then Kanye also made a post about allegedly one of Kim Kardashian's cousins reaching out to him and asking him for some brand new Yeezy sneakers while he was trying to get in touch with Kim Kardashian over their children. Y'all, it's just a hot damn mess. This whole situation, I knew the marriage was going to go down in flames. You know, it wasn't based off of the right things and the right reasons to me from the outside looking in. And I just don't see why Kanye is shocked that his daughter has like a social media page on TikTok. Do I feel like a kid should be on TikTok handling her own account? No. However, why would he be shocked? You're married to the biggest like social media influencer of our time. So why would you be shocked that she actually had your daughter on a social media app like TikTok putting out videos and stuff like that? Like, come on, man. I just can't believe that he would be shocked at that. That, you know, he can have his rights as his father. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have rights on what his children are into and stuff like that, but I'm saying like he just plays victim, like he didn't know nothing. He just woke up and had four kids with Kim Kardashian. He should have chose better. That's just what it is. If you're not happy with your ex-wife and the decision she's making for your kids, you decided to make her a mother four times over, Kanye. So I don't know why you keep on crying and whining all over the place. Be a man, go to court. I think I said it on my mini pod. Be a man, go to court, handle it in the courts, and put out some good music. You know, I'm trying to hear your album. I'm not trying to hear you crying every 2 seconds about what your ex-wife or potential ex-wife is doing. And then, oh yeah, did I tell you his new girlfriend actually went on like on social media and basically was trying to tell everybody that they were still together because there was a rumor going out that allegedly they had broken up. And the girl, her name is Julia Fox. She's like a model. She put out a post that said, oh no, me and Kanye are still together. She took the pictures of them together off her Instagram page. She was trying to make an excuse of why she took it down, basically saying that she took it down because people was blasting her in the comments and trying to be funny with her in the comments section about their pictures and stuff. So she decided to take it down. I guess she couldn't take the heat, so she got out the kitchen and took those pictures down. She put out a video about that too. But outside of that, y'all share y'all thoughts about that situation right there. And then another thing that I just want to talk about too is that they arrested the four guys that were reportedly involved in the fatal drug deal of Michael K. Williams. Okay, so you know Michael K. Williams, he's an actor. He died in September of last year of a drug overdose at the age of 54 in his New York City apartment. And they basically got surveillance footage of the people that dealt the drugs to him, and they arrested four men. One of the guys were arrested in Puerto Rico, and they were saying that this drug dealer gave him heroin laced with fentanyl. Okay, so heroin itself is a very strong, potent drug that makes you like fall asleep if you do it too much. But fentanyl is a fatal drug, and if you take even a small milliounce of that, it can kill you. So he went and got the drugs, but the crazy thing is the drug deal was caught on tape. It was caught on tape, so they was able to catch the drug dealers because they recorded his last drug deal, and it showed Michael K. Williams walking over to the drug dealer, picking up the heroin that he didn't know was also laced with fentanyl that was about to kill him, all right? And then he went back to his home, and he died from it. So right now, the four guys has been arrested. Their ages range from the age of 39 to 70. I mean, 70 years old, man, that's a long time to be in the drug game. 70 years old, still pushing drugs. They're saying that basically they're each charged with conspiracy to distribute and possess with an intent to distribute fentanyl and fentanyl and heroin. They're also saying that they could face the maximum of 40 years in prison each. So, and some of them are facing a possible maximum sentence of life in prison, according to the attorneys. So, you know, man, this is so unfortunate. He died at the age of 54 years old. And it's a thing where you just have to stay away from the drugs. You got to stay away from the drugs. And this may have been a situation where he was struggling. And, you know, and my heart went out to him with that. But it's so unfortunate where you get your drugs from and who's giving drugs to you if you happen to have a habit. Because you never know if they're giving you a drug that has fentanyl in it. You know, you're killing your clientele with this. And I was talking about that a few months ago when he actually passed away. I was sitting there thinking like, yo, they probably had to have that shit laced with fentanyl or something for him to just OD like that and just drop dead out of nowhere. I'm just like, okay, like, when is enough going to be enough? You know, I'm glad that they found the people, but it's just like some people feel like those guys shouldn't be arrested, that he shouldn't be in jail because allegedly, it was Michael K. Williams' decision to actually buy those drugs. But y'all, you know, it's called a war against drugs. You know, they shouldn't have been dealing drugs in the first place. It's illegal to sell heroin to people. You know, you could be selling weed and other stuff, you know, that's legal. You know, marijuana is very legal. You can still sell that, get a dispensary, whatever. But they selling probably coke, heroin, and then you're mixing it with fentanyl, like you trying to kill off your entire clientele at this point. So it's unfortunate that Michael K. Williams had to go out like that, and he passed away due to the drugs. But you know, this is also, you know, a lesson for the kids out there, is just to stay away from the drugs. Stay away from drugs. There's so many celebrities that have passed on and unknown people that have passed on due to fentanyl poisoning. I mean, I can go down an entire list of people who you know, autopsy results came back and it was like, oh yeah, they overdosed, but it was fentanyl in their system. Fentanyl. So just like, if you do have a drug problem, you know, my heart goes out to you. I hope that you do try to take the steps to really clean yourself up and recover, because you never know when that last hit will be your last hit. You feel me? Like, you don't know, you know? And you can't force nobody to be sober. I know people out there got family members that's probably going through the struggle with drug addiction, and you want them to clean up, but really, you can't really do anything, because there is this, they're the one that makes the final decision on whether they want to continue on with this habit or stay focused on sobriety, you know? So, you know, I'm going to send out my condolences once again to Michael K. Williams' family, and hopefully they can clean up the streets and this will stop. You know, this whole situation will stop. One more thing I wanted, I think that's pretty much everything. That's everything I want to cover on today's podcast. I'm going to be working on some more podcasts. It's a lot of episodes. You guys, I'm chopping down subjects to subjects on my pods or whatever. So for the most part, I've been trying to make sure that I am making content that I can handle, which means I can put out content, get a good amount of subjects for y'all to enjoy and talk about on my pod, and then come back to some more topics that happen during the week. But you know, for the most part, I'm pretty much about to wrap up the show. Now, the one other thing I do want to talk about, is the guy from Pretty Ricky that's about to go to jail for PPP fraud. I know you guys, know about that. His name is, Baby Blue from Pretty Ricky. He's actually about to go to jail tomorrow because of him scamming the government out of PPP loans over this whole COVID-19 situation. So you know how it was during COVID-19. People was giving out PPP business loans. There was a ton of people scamming the government. And now basically the chickens done came to roost, y'all. Like, this guy is going to jail for almost 2 years. He was given 20 months in prison for his involvement in the PPP loan fraud. And he went on social media basically saying he's having his last supper with his family and friends, and of course his brothers, which is also his bandmates, showed up. And I guess, you know, they're trying to see him off because he's going to be going to jail within the next, I want to say, 24 to 48 hours. And he won't be out for nearly 2 years, you know. And this is a lesson. It's very unfortunate. I would never celebrate somebody being locked up. You know, jail is not a fun place, you know. But it's just, why would you do that and think you could get away with that? Why are you scamming the government? It doesn't make any sense. Like, if you mix one month of taxes, they on your ass. Why would you think that you would get a loan from them and they not be on your ass and tracking where that money went? That don't even make that's just stupid. Like, just stupid for you to think that you can get away with something like that. Like, that it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. And I ain't gonna lie, I feel like Baby Blue been on social media doing the most about it. Like, oh, this is my last supper. This. But you are in like a multi-platinum music group. You know, your brother has a real good business. He's a multimillionaire. Like, if you were that hired up on money, you guys could have sat down and figured out a business plan and try to start something to make you money. You didn't have to steal money from the government. Now you're going to be doing several months in prison for what? Almost 2 years in prison over being goofy? Like, I don't get it. It don't make any sense to me. Like, is it really that serious? You know? Outside of that, you guys, I'm going to wrap it up for today. I will be back. Make sure you guys hit that sub button if you guys haven't already. If you made it to the end of this podcast, you like this podcast, so make sure you guys hit that sub button. You know, man, I've just been out here working hard, grinding, trying to build. And, you know, usually I try to go for 2 hours, but listen, it's been a long week. I can't be sitting here editing 2 hours worth of material. Not today. I do everything. I do the production. I do the editing. I do the promotion. I do the visuals. So I can only give you guys an hour and some change of my time right now. But believe, if it's some more breaking news and craziness to happen, you know your girl gonna jump back in a loop and put out that news as well. So if this is your first time listening, I appreciate you for listening all the way to the very end. If you are back because you just always listen to me all the time, make sure you do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button and share this podcast. Share it everywhere. I'm trying to get these numbers up, and I have six figures in my head on how many people could be listening. I feel like every video I put out is an opportunity to go viral for me to continue to build my media brand, and I appreciate everybody for listening. I'm gonna catch you guys real soon. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Much love. Peace.